come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. As you look back over this portion of Scripture, several things may jump out to you. First of all, it starts off with a continuation of the same basic rivalry that has been going on in previous chapters, that being the constant conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, religious leaders of that day. Verse 1 starts off with, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees," which is the equivalent of Jesus sending a warning shot over the bow of their ship. He emphatically and directly calls out to his opponents that anyone who tries to get into the sheep pen by other means other than the gate is a thief and a robber. Jesus makes it crystal clear that the true shepherd of the sheep will only enter one way, and that one way is through the gate of the pen. You know, in ancient Israel, shepherds would build sheep pens with stone walls, sometimes as high as 10 feet tall. And the doorway of the pen would be the opening for which the sheep would go in and out. It was the job of the gatekeeper to tend the gate during the night, and that would protect the animals the sheep from wild animals and thieves. In some cases, there was no actual gate, so the gatekeeper would lay in the doorway, and literally, he would become the gate for the sheep pen. And that makes what Jesus says in verses 7 and 9 make much more sense. "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." When Jesus says that he is the gate, he's emphasizing that he is the only gate, the only door to salvation. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And just because we're in a church service here today, we never want to assume that everyone here knows or agrees with that basic biblical truth. Recently, after we had some guests here in the building, I found this little card. Little two-sided card, folds up. It was back there on the floor, back by the door. I think somebody had accidentally dropped it. On the front it says, What do Unitarian Universalists believe? And then on the inside it gives a series of 10 statements that all start with, "We believe," and "we believe," and "we believe." And I read over it. Let me summarize what it says. For Unitarian Universalists, it basically says you can believe whatever you want to believe about everything, as long as you love people and allow everyone else to believe whatever they want to believe about everything. So basically, this little card, this religion, that I don't know how many people, but I mean, it's a big religion. It basically says, if I want to believe that keyboard right there is God, I can. As long as I'm loving in the way that I do it. And if I want to believe that when I die, I just become a note in the musical realm of the universe, I can believe that too, and I'm good to go. as long as I'm loving about it. It sounds ridiculous to us, but sadly, there are people who believe this wacky stuff. As a matter of fact, you can go right down the line of all the world religions and the cults, and every single one of them will proclaim truth that is in direct opposition to the truth that Jesus plainly declared. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, New Agers, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, and a myriad of others all claim to be the exclusive door to salvation. But only Christianity declares that Jesus is the door to salvation. All the rest are attempting to climb into the sheep pen by some other means. And Jesus warns that those who do so are thieves and robbers. They're only wanting to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. Jesus is the only door that leads to life, to eternal life that begins now, a life that is abundant and full. And I hope that each and every person here lives by the truth that Jesus is the gate. You know, as you work through this passage, the second thing that really jumps out is the presence of the shepherd. Now, I'm sure if you've been in church much, or maybe you grew up on a sheep farm, then you know that sheep are basically helpless creatures. They're utterly defenseless, and they're in constant need of protection from the enemy. Throughout the Bible, God compares people to be like sheep. And God promised to send a shepherd to lead and defend his people. When you take a look at verses 11 and 14, here you'll find the second I am statement of Jesus in this passage. Not only is Jesus the gate or the door for the sheep, he is the good shepherd, the ultimate guide and protector of the flock. And he says this, that he's the good shepherd, and it's a direct comparison or contrast to the other religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. The good shepherd is the one who actually leads the sheep, the one who calls his own sheep by name, the one who goes ahead of the sheep, the one who generously gives his sheep life to the fullest. And the good shepherd is the one who will do everything he can to protect the sheep in the face of danger, even if it means sacrificing his own life. Jesus is the good shepherd. And Jesus will lay down his life, his precious life, for the sheep. Now that phrase, lays down his life, it's repeated four times in these eight verses. And whenever Jesus repeats something, it's not like he's stuttering. He's trying to make a point. The Jews didn't take Jesus' life on the cross. Jesus gave his life. And Jesus had complete authority over his life. Complete authority to lay it down and take it up again. And he did this, of course, because Jesus was and is and always will be God, as he has plainly stated over and over and over through this Gospel of John. And yet, despite the clear language that Jesus uses about his identity and his equality with the Father, somehow the Pharisees and many of the Jews who heard his words were still spiritually blind and deaf. They were unable to hear and see what it was that Jesus was telling them. It's been a long time since Jesus walked among us here on this earth. But people are basically still the same today, spiritually blind and deaf, unable to see and hear what Jesus and his church clearly reveal as truth today. Personally, I've really enjoyed working with this passage over the last week. And as I have listened, read, studied, memorized, and meditated on this passage, I'd like to point out a few observations regarding the sheep. Because after all, that's where we find ourselves in this story. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. We are just like these sheep in need of a shepherd. The traits I noticed are found in verses 3, 4, and 14, and if you're the underlining type of Bible study person, I would ask you to consider underlining these short phrases in your Bible. Sheep listen, sheep follow, and sheep know. And my prayer is that as we look at these in our own lives, that we would recognize these characteristics to be true in our own walk as well. So what does it mean? What does it mean that the sheep listen to his voice? To whose voice are they intently listening? I don't know if your ears have ever gone like theirs, right? Like out like that. But sometimes when I call my kids, I in my mind, I think that's what's happening. Probably not. Whose voice are they listening to? Well, of course, it's the shepherd's voice, and it's not the voice of a stranger. The sheep hear the words of the shepherd. This listening is an active action that is taking place. It's not a passive, oh, I accidentally heard the shepherd. No, they're listening. Their ears are perked. How do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? Well, it's just like you've come to learn the different voices that you recognize in your own life. If you closed your eyes, most of you right now would be able to identify probably better than 90% of the voices that you'd hear in this room. How can you do that without seeing them? Well, it's the same way that you used to recognize voices on your phone before the days of caller ID and pictures that would pop up to tell you who it is that's calling. With caller ID nowadays, you don't have to guess at all. Your brain is more amazing than any computer that man could ever build, and God has knit you together in your mother's womb in such a way that you have the ability to recognize voices that you hear frequently. You won't recognize the voice of a stranger because those voices aren't familiar, but you will recognize the voice of those with whom you have relationship. Voices can provide comfort. Voices, even if they're recorded, have the power to bring you joy. Have you ever been in the midst of a rough day and you picked up the phone to just call somebody that you loved because you wanted to hear their voice? Their words can be like a verbal hug, as if to say, it'll be okay. And after you talk with that person, you feel better and you just go on with your day. You didn't actually see or touch the person, but their voice was enough. As sheep, do you ever find yourself longing to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Do you ever just want to enjoy hearing his word? Maybe it's not that you even need or want anything, but you just enjoy the simple pleasure of connecting to the words of Jesus. How do you actually go about listening to the voice of God? I don't know anybody who's ever heard the Lord speak audibly like he did in the Bible. But we can listen directly to the shepherd's voice through his written word, the very word of God, the very word that is active and living. The word of which it was said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We do not understand how blessed we are to have an entire book that contains more than 750,000 God-breathed words. We could hold it in our hands. That is his voice. Sheep, are you listening to the shepherd's voice? You know, in your bulletin today, I included a handout of an illustration that's created by the navigators. If you didn't get one, I'd encourage you to pick one up, find one after the service. It's in your bulletin today. It's a full sheet here, and you may have seen this before. It's not new. It's been around a while. But it's helpful to understand how every single one of us can listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. The illustration shows a hand holding a Bible. On most hands, there's 5 fingers. And if you really want to hold on to something tightly, how many fingers do you use? If I just use 1 finger to try to hold on to this, I'm going to drop it. I'm not going to be able to hang on to it very well. If I use 2 fingers like this, I still got it pretty good, but Chad could probably come up here and knock it out of my hand. If I really want to have a grip on something, I use all 5 fingers. The illustration shows 5 different ways to handle the Word of God. And if you're just hearing the Word, you're using 1 finger. You're not going to have a very good grip on God's Word if you just hear it. If you only read and hear God's Word, you're up to 2, but the enemy of your soul is a thief, and he could easily knock it out of your hand. I would encourage you to take a good look at all 5 methods as you walk this road of the Christian life. For the Christian who hears, reads, studies, memorizes, and meditates on the living voice of God, that person will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever that person does, prospers. It is the voice of truth. The voice of the Good Shepherd brings healing and direction and comfort and peace and joy and truth and correction and teaching and rebuke and training in righteousness. So, sheep of ACC, let's be faithful to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Second characteristic that I see in Jesus' description of his sheep is in verse 4. It says, "And his sheep follow him." They follow. They don't stay in the sheep pen. They don't head the other direction. They obey and they follow the shepherd. They are the companion of the shepherd. The sheep are going the same way as the one who is leading them. And why do they follow? Well, it says it, because they recognize his voice. How do they recognize it? Well, go back to point number 1 that we just talked about. They listen to his voice. Throughout the story of Jesus, the Good Shepherd called out to the rich and the poor and the popular and the lonely, the sick and those who were well. And as he walked among us, Jesus called out, "Follow me." And many answered his call. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people"? Or the time that Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus said. And Matthew got up and followed him. Or what about the time Jesus said to the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me"? Once there was a rich man who asked Jesus, "How do I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me." And earlier in the book of John, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In many of these instances, the difference between life and death was following Jesus. The same is still true today. The Good Shepherd is calling you by name. He's leading you on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The question is, are you following? A couple of weeks ago, I took a leap of faith and I began a second career. I started coaching 5th and 6th graders at an Upward basketball. And within the first 5 minutes of the first practice, I knew I was in a little bit over my head, because these energy-filled kids were bouncing off the walls of the gym. And in some ways, I began to feel a little bit about what it must feel like to be a shepherd. I only knew one kid on my team. His name is Isaiah, and you can get his autograph after the service today if you'd like. Other than that, I had to figure out who these kids were and how to get them to recognize my voice in the midst of this noisy gymnasium, these squirrely little kids, and I had to get them to try to follow my lead. I knew that it was going to take time and effort and patience and love. And these kids, they have a choice. They can follow my lead to do the drills and the plays that we're designing that will hopefully lead us to success, or they can follow a different path. And they can sit next to me on the bench the entire game. Shepherds and coaches have a lot in common. But basketball is just a game, and following Jesus is a matter of life and death. Following me will lead to temporary hoops victory. But following Jesus will lead to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Sheep of ACC, let's be faithful to follow the good shepherd. The final characteristics in Jesus' description of the sheep is in verse 14. And my sheep know me. This one is stunning to me. The sheep that belong to the good shepherd, they know him. They've learned who he is, they realize his identity, and they know him. And if you read the phrase that's just prior to this in verse 14, you can take great comfort where it says, Jesus knows his sheep. And that means Jesus, the King of Kings, knows you by name. The Good Shepherd has searched for you. He knows you when you sit down and when you rise, when he's familiar with all your ways. But verse 14 indicates that not only does the shepherd know the sheep, but the sheep actually know the shepherd. And to what degree do they know him? Look at verse 15. Jesus says the relationship is just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Whoa. That my relationship with God can be just as the Father's relationship is with Jesus. I would encourage you to read, hear, study, memorize, and meditate on those couple of verses for a week. And I promise you, it will bring you great joy. How can you and I get to the place of knowing the Good Shepherd with such intimacy? It's in the same way that we get to know those we love and care for most, by time and effort, patience and love. It doesn't happen overnight. And it just doesn't happen when we're not communicating with each other. I can tell you how intimacy with Christ won't happen. Maybe this cartoon accurately reflects your experience or the experience of someone you know. And as you can see in this picture, the shepherd is faithful to call to the sheep, but the sheep is a bit distracted by many things, none of which are evil, but all of which are distractions to the one voice for which we should be intentionally, regularly listening. The one voice who is calling us to follow. The one voice that is worth knowing. And this sheep wonders why he doesn't hear the shepherd's voice. sheep of ACC, let's be intentional to get to know the Good Shepherd better. Let's resolve to seek him and know him and to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Because the sheep who are in the fold of Jesus are sheep who are listening, who are following, and are knowing that great shepherd. It's interesting. The writer of the book of Hebrews ends his letter, with these words. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we often speak of hearing your voice, and I pray that it would be crystal clear to us. And I know that you speak to us in more ways than simply just through your word, but for us as Americans living in this time, in this place, we have no excuse. Your word is so readily available to us, your voice. Understanding what you're saying, yeah, that can be a bit of a challenge, but that comes with relationship. And I pray for our people here today that you would draw us to yourself, that we might know you better, more deeply. And that light that shines within us, Jesus, that you would use that to draw others to yourself, that we would reflect your glory. Lord, I pray for healing today. Please heal us in those places where we're broken. I pray for comfort today. As the Good Shepherd, as we come back into the sheep pen, that you speak words of peace. You rub oil on our wounds. You wrap your arms of love around us. I pray that your people would feel that today.